Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I play pitcher, shortstop, third base, and center field.
Those are the prime positions.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys, Dirt and Sprague.
Yeah, you were the best player on your team.
Yes, that, then that, now we talking.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Scrape cleanup on aisle three. Come get it.
Sounds like you're just an athlete.
Yeah.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Ping pong, baseball, football, basketball.
Tennis, swimming. LaCroix, whatever you need me to play, I'm going to go do it.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hockey.
Whatever. On the rink. Whatever you need me to do. It don't matter.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here. Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan. Odyssey app. Live on YouTube. Fan Sports Network. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Fridays are off to a great start. We got our eyes on the Ryder Cup. We're down to one final match of the morning foursomes, and Europe is whooping our ass up and down the golf course right now.
Some interesting, I saw a story yesterday in the Oregonian. They did a piece on a couple Oregon fans that were traveling for this game and how much they're spending and what the travel is like.
What the cost was going to be?
The cost is kind of what you expect, but it's just more like, God bless fans who are like this. I'm just never built like it. There's people that are like, yeah, I know it's a lot of money, but I got to be there to support my team. I'm sitting in the very top section of the very last row, and it's better than being on TV. And I'm like,
I mean, it's a bucket list one to be able to see for sure. And I get that angle of it. Like, if Oregon plays in a whiteout game at Penn State in 10, 15 years from now, and me and Teddy Ballgame can go to the game, like, there's going to be a serious draw to want to go to that. I think during the time of the conference, you want to check off all of the big stadiums, right? Like, I haven't been to a game at Michigan. I haven't been to a game at Ohio State. I haven't been to a game at Penn State. That was a unique thing about the Pac-12, is that those were kind of out the window. Yeah, at that point, most of us have been to almost every stadium in the Pac-12, or at least a lot of them over the years. And so I get why people want to do it. It's just, it's expensive, man. You got that kind of, you know, bleep you money, more power to you for flying out there and going to a Penn State whiteout game, I guess.
Oh, I mean, you're absolutely a psycho about it, and I think that's awesome. I'm starting to feel more better about my opinion this week of, like, the pressure is more tilted towards Penn State, but the amount of people, either, as you put, you're kind of overly confident, or all in on Oregon plus a 3.5, as Joel Klatt said, or just outright think Oregon wins this game because of James Franklin.
They're the most bet-on team in college football. Plus 3.5 Oregon is one of the most bet-on lines by the public, which is usually not a category that you want to be in.
Well, but, like, because of how loud it's been on Oregon, I what are we saying Monday if Penn State wins it and Oregon does lose? Or what are we saying if Penn State wins and Oregon loses by multiple scores?
Yeah, I think it depends on how it looks during the process.
It's an element of the game that I find very, very fascinating, and I can't wait to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, not all losses are created equal. If they get worked and handled and Penn State runs away from them and it's never really that competitive, I think you're here on Monday, you know, asking questions about where do we go from here. If they, you know, lose the game and it's competitive and it's a one play here or there that could have changed it, I don't think we're going to have that many grand takeaways. Other than pretty, like,
what was the play that swung it?
Right,
what
that was kind of similar.
They,
like,
couldn't stop or whatever.
The Oregon Ohio State thing was big because Lanning at that point had not had one of those marquee pelts on the wall, if you will, and so it was a big deal for him to win that game,
especially off of the Washington year. You lost twice to him, including in the
title
game.
Exactly, and so I think that was a huge deal because he just got that pelt on the wall. But I don't think anybody left that game saying, "What's wrong with Ohio State? Can Ohio State recover from this?" It was, damn, if he would have slid 2 seconds earlier, maybe Ohio State wins the game because they had one more timeout left. So if the game goes that way, I think that will be the rational reaction by most people. But yeah, if Oregon goes in there and it's, you know, they're down by 14 at the end of the first quarter, You know, you try and make some inroads, but they never really cut it to one score. Like, yeah, we'll be asking where do they go the rest of the way.
I think what's funny is I think when you did question it last year for Ohio State, it was against Michigan, and then they won the title, which makes the whole expanded playoff thing a little ridiculous. We do have breaking news.
Oh, what do we got?
Nicole Auerbach
okay.
says, and we talked about, coincidentally, talked to this Monday or Tuesday, Big Ten is set to announce it's launching a rivalry series presented by Venmo, because of course you have to announce that
part. A rivalry series for the Big Ten.
And it will include football and men's and women's basketball. The rivalry series kicks off tomorrow with Penn State, Oregon, the first of 17
what?
Designated football games. 8 trophy games are going to be included. So I guess where I'm confused, and I'll see if she followed up.
Wait, what?
So Oregon, Penn State might become the Big Ten. Like,
that's a rivalry game?
I read that as...
they're just trying to get money from Venmo and they put a label on this game and some other games?
Yeah, because, well, Venmo has that deal now, like an across-the-board NIL deal with college athletes or the NCAA or something.
So this isn't in every year the way the SEC...
No, I think they're designating, okay. So when they get a big matchup like this, that they'll designate it
so
a
there's a trophy
rivalry
between these
thing.
Two?
I don't know. Maybe.
I still am in a little bit of shock over the quote of Dante Moore might be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. That one still has me shook, Todd McShay. I'm not quite sure how to respond to that one. I got a sticky note here in front of me.
I thought you had heard that.
I had not heard that yet. Yeah. No, that one, I'm a little bamboozled, but I'm not opposed to it.
Well, his numbers are electric. His size and arm are amazing. And
yeah, he's got the skill.
I don't mean this is a knock against him.
Sure.
Everybody else in this conversation has blown chunks.
Yeah, a lot of guys have been really bad. I got a sticky note in front of me that says, quote, not a chance, not in New York. And that was from Brandon J. Sprague on May 28th on Dante Moore's Heisman chances.
You know, you also have a note. I have in my backpack. You could take that out of the studio so other shows aren't highlighting that I said.
I mean, my note was the Titans were going to suck, and I feel pretty good about my note right now.
I think you said Cam Ward doesn't make the Titans anything. Okay? I'm holding on to that.
I don't think he makes them anything. I feel pretty good about my sticky note.
What sucks about my note is Dante can throw for sub 200, 2 touchdowns, no picks. They could win or lose, and he'll still be like a Heisman front runner.
Yes, he will, because that race is wide open right now. John Mateer being down for a couple of weeks, he was the favorite in Vegas. I want to say Dante Moore might be the second favorite right now in Vegas. He's at least in the conversation for some. But the quarterback play in this game is very interesting because you have Dante, who came into the year, and everybody just wondered, like, what is this going to look like? He wasn't great as a freshman at UCLA. He was thrown into the fire. You know, I push back on the narrative that he hasn't played in tough environments. Now, he's not played in this environment. A wideout at Penn State is a different animal. I'm not arguing that. But, like, he started on the road at Utah. That was one of the, and still is, in my opinion, one of the tougher places to play on the West Coast. He started and played at Oregon State. That was a game he got benched in, and there was emotions involved for him last week.
That was a really good Beaver team,
too. That was a really good Beaver team. Yeah. That was a tough place to play. Like, dude, yep. Corvallis was rocking. That was at peak. So, like, this idea he hasn't played in a road environment because his only start at Oregon is at Northwestern, I push back. I think he started 7 games his freshman year at UCLA before finally getting benched at the end of the year in Corvallis when things went sideways for him. But he's been challenged a little bit in tough environments. But just to see, like, it might end up being the determining factor in this game, right? Like, it does Dante Moore outplay Drew Aller? Because I think there's a lot of evenness around the rest of the roster, if you will. Like, I don't think there's massive advantages one way or the other at certain, you know, offensive line, they're both pretty good. Defensive line, they're both pretty good.
You don't think Penn State's running attack is...
it could be, but Oregon's going to have Noah Whittington back, and they got Lamar. Like, they got multiple backs they can come at you with. They're running the ball fine this year. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to outrush Penn State. Penn State might outgain them in that category. They did in the Big Ten title game last year, but what did Oregon run for in that game? 200 yards on Penn State? And Penn State went for, like, 297?
It was 493 total, and Penn State had
290 of them or whatever. Yeah. So you're basically around 200 rushing yards as a team. That's, if you tell me Oregon runs the ball for 200 yards, they're going to feel great tomorrow on the road at Penn State. So wide receivers, you could say maybe on paper it's Penn State, but those guys haven't done a ton so far this year. It truly, genuinely might come down to, does one of these quarterbacks make a mistake? Does one of these quarterbacks handle the big moment better? I was listening to Isaac and Suk, I think it was yesterday, and they found an interview from Drew Aller that I hadn't seen where basically he acknowledged that he's pressing a little bit. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's back for his senior year. This is the year. It's all supposed to pop. Like, expectations. You're a top 10 pick. And that can lead to things going sideways because sometimes there's just a lot of pressure that comes with that, whereas Dante Moore was more of an unknown and an untalked about guy coming into the year, as was Oregon as opposed to Penn State. So I'm really curious to see how Dante Moore handles this moment. Number one pick stuff might make me chuckle right now, but if he goes out there and looks dominant and throws four touchdowns tomorrow night and they beat Penn State on the road, yeah, dude, why can't he be the number one pick because of what the rest of the class looks like? He's 6'4" or 6'3", 215 pounds. He's got a rocket launcher of an arm. He throws a great touch. Like, he's got everything that you want in a quarterback. And if he plays well this weekend, every NFL scout's going to be opening their eyes to where he could go from here.
You know, and because the quarterback is such an important factor, like, if he throws two picks or Aller throws two picks, like, certainly could sway everything.
That was the difference in the title game last year. Remember, Drew Aller threw two, he threw the early one to Dante Manning that set up a touchdown, and then he threw the ceiling one at the end of the game.
I think there's a way we come in Monday and both were fine or good, and it broke down to Allen or Singleton were just a little better, and that rushing attack for Penn State did it. Or whether it be Lamar or Whittington or Hill, like, I think there's a possibility it's other stuff, or the defense, right? Or it's the pass rush, or Thieneman, or whoever. Like, there's a real world that exists where both play fine.
And not a huge takeaway either way,
but
somebody else
does
it.
Yeah, it's the other stuff in some capacity that ultimately dictate the difference in this one.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how it all plays out, man. Oregon and Penn State. Have we emptied our bag? You got anything more on
this
game?
No, because, like, as much as we've talked about it, and I'm excited about the pressure and the coaches and the quarterbacks, like, I'm generally more anti-preview than I am discuss what happened. I like watching what happens. Yes.
It's hard to predict.
Exactly.
It's impossible to predict. Just in terms of anticipation, man, you got the two Washington games, obviously, from a couple years ago, just in recent memory. You got the Ohio State game last year, the Big Ten title game, the Rose Bowl playoff game. Like, this one's up there. Playing in a wideout at Penn State's going to be awesome. And I can't wait to turn this one on tomorrow, and you can hear it right here on The Fan. Come say hi at Grand Central Bowl. We'll be out there. Hanging out. Come say what up.
Try that.
People are going to come see Anthony Newman. You should see Anthony Newman operate in Eugene, Oregon. That guy is the mayor of Eugene. He is just lines around the block to see Anthony Newman.
Same in West Lynn.
That's the way it rolls for him.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure there'll be a big
Life's
crowd
been great for Anthony
gathered
Newman.
To see Anthony Newman. But if you want to come say what's
is
up.
Is J.J. Burton going to be there?
I don't know if J.J. Burton will be there.
Once upon a time,
they were together.
I didn't see Anthony Newman unless I also saw J.J. Burton.
They went together.
Are they still friends?
I think they're still friends.
What if they became frenemies and they never talked about it publicly?
Oh, they had their own separate football camps?
Yes.
The Anthony Newman football camp and the J.J. Burton football camp?
Is Anthony Newman now running West Lynn? Is that a line in the sand for J.J., the great pacer
but see,
that he is?
If they
still hold school records for the long jump and triple jump, by the way.
I mean, he was a damn good athlete. That doesn't surprise me in the least.
If they fought and started their own single camps, I would need them to name it the same but opposite. Anthony Newman, not with J.J. Burton football camp.
Yeah.
J.J. Burton, not with Anthony Newman football camp.
Still got my autographed Anthony Newman, J.J. Burton t-shirt. Still got that thing
from
my childhood.
I mean, who didn't go to the Anthony Newman, J.J.
Did you play football
in Oregon if you didn't go to an Anthony Newman, J.J. Burton football camp?
That's a great poll question for today.
Come on.
The answer to that is no.
Everybody
you did not play football if you didn't go to their camp.
Come on.
That's the way it worked. So come say what's up. We'll be out there tomorrow broadcasting live 12 to 2:30. And if you try and say hi to me at 2:32, I will not say hi back to you.
Thanks.
I will be
love
gone.
You. Bye.
See you later. Let's get to the rest of the slate. We can start with Washington, Ohio State. Big one up in Seattle. Also, just kind of, I want to run through the gauntlet of what tomorrow is going to look like, because I don't know if you people realize this. We might be on the brink of the best college football Saturday of our lifetime. That's how good it is. We'll lay it all out. We'll start getting to that. Get your fake sponsors in for Spreading the Line at 9:30. Back after this on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you guys prepared for what tomorrow is going to bring? Are we ready? Are you mentally there?
It's a good slate.
It's an incredible slate. one of the all-time great slates, people are saying.
It's one of the really good ones.
That's what the people are saying.
I think it's really sexy.
I do too, Neil. I think it's very sexy.
Will it live up to the hype?
I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't happen.
That's the unfortunate part of football.
So, you could just even start with tonight. For some reason, Florida State is sub a touchdown favorite over Virginia. Make it make sense.
Yeah, we're
Daniels, by the way, not
one.
Practicing for the Commies. He's not out there.
Okay, not practicing today. So
be another GOAT game.
The GOAT might be back in action this weekend. Revenge game against the Falcons. Look out, Falcons. He's coming for you.
I'm trying to see if there's any...
I looked earlier. I have not seen an update on Castellanos other than he's been in the injury report this week. That's all they've said.
I'm going to have to lean and say there's no other explanation for why that would be that low. Other than he's maybe not going to play, and they have an idea of that.
You get great value at 6.5 if he ends up playing, because I don't know. I've not watched a second of Virginia football. I will not pretend to. They are 3-1 on the season. They have wins over William & Mary, Stanford, exactly. And somebody else.
How about this stat? His last half of football inside Scott Stadium, Tommy Castellanos, when he was at Boston College.
Boston College on the road there.
Punt, interception, ooh. Fumble return for a touchdown, loss of downs, interception.
He's a bit of a boom or bust guy. You know, it's like either, oh my God, this guy's unstoppable, or Jesus, they can't get a first down. He's got that vibe written
on him. It's at 7 right now at A&A.
Okay, so it's up to 7, so it's right at a touchdown. You get TCU, Arizona State tonight, two teams who are still alive in the Big 12 title. Mm-hmm. TCU's not played a conference game yet. They've looked awesome. Just cracking into the top 25 last week. Arizona State, member had that earlier loss where they lost on the road to Mississippi State, but they've also looked pretty solid in their other games. So, fun little Big 12 tilt on a Friday night.
Yeah, Hoover's kind of sneaking into the Heisman conversation. The Furry's having himself a hell of a season. And
yes, he is.
Man, if TCU can get this road win, you're going to start going, okay, maybe TCU and Texas Tech are the cream of this crop.
Sonny Dykes is back all of a sudden. National title appearance a couple years ago. Kind of faded, and now he's back, maybe?
Some would argue he never left, Andrew. Well, it's just tough for the portal year with TCU being
involved. Then I go to then I got Oregon State. Who can forget Oregon State Houston tonight, 7:30? Who could forget that game? None of us.
Most of America will forget about that game.
None of us.
Will we want to forget it?
That's, probably.
That's really the question.
What time is that game going to end tonight?
11.
Yeah, almost 11.
I don't know if it's the longevity of us in this time slot, but 7:30 and 8 o'clock kicks hit so much different for me than they used to in my life. I used to love that night slate of like, I'm up till 2 o'clock in the morning anyways, who cares? And now when these games are going on, I'm like, it is not even halftime yet, and it's 10:30, and I'm like groaning in my living room.
I mean, I noted this in week one, like I wasn't ready. I was...
No.
You
not
go
prepared.
For a long run and you haven't conditioned yourself. I was like that for the after dark kickoffs. I was not ready. I fell asleep.
Right.
I almost did that last weekend too with USC and Michigan State. I'm like, it's not an awful game, but USC's up, and I ended up falling asleep, and I woke up and I saw the score and I saw a little bit of the third, and I'm like, nah, okay, I know what the result is.
I'm just going to run through the big games of each time slot, and we can share a couple thoughts on them, and then just kind of, you know, let's check some boxes here as we go. So that's the end of the night slate. You get three games tonight that I will be watching all three of. Turn around, you wake up early tomorrow. Some of us are watching football early in the morning. Some of us will be watching golf. Ryder Cup teeing off again early tomorrow. And then at 9 a.m., I got Notre Dame in desperation mode on the road at Arkansas. And one of the quarterbacks that we have not talked about who might be playing himself in the NFL draft conversations because his team has already lost twice is Taylor Green's having a good year at Arkansas. Like, offense for them has not been the problem. Their problem has been defense. They can't really stop anybody.
That blown game last weekend against Memphis.
Just, that's a bad loss for them. But they also probably should have beaten Ole Miss the week before. Like, they were right there to knock off Ole Miss and their backup quarterback. Notre Dame at Arkansas, 9 a.m. on ABC.
Don't want to make the whole Friday show, though. It tends to kind of lean this way, all gambling, related. But I am wondering, like, if you could go bet a number one draft pick, I think he's a sneaky
good
value bet. Because I
value.
Bet you he's way off the board.
Yep.
And I remember texting Nemec, because Nemec's a big draft nerd. And who was it? The Ole Miss game. I text Nemec during the Ole Miss game, and I'm like, dude, I don't really care what his record is. And in the NFL, nobody can predict where the franchise guys are coming from anyway. Taylen Green, he's got some stuff on tape that, like, if you're an NFL guy, super big athlete, big just overall size athlete, big arm. Like, he looks like, he almost looks like a more athletic kind of Jordan Love-esque guy, like somebody you could work with, a little Josh Allen-y. Now, I'm not trying to say he's going to be that in any way. I'm just saying, like, you can see tape of Taylen Green and go, yeah, I could see a team talking themselves into this dude. I'm sure his measurements are going to be impressive. He is fun to watch. Like, he's made Arkansas fun to watch in a year where we thought they'd win four games and fire Sam Pittman.
Yes.
They shouldn't have lost last weekend, but I think that they're primed for a potential upset this week.
I'm trying to find where he shows up on the board here. I just pulled up like a random odds checker. Garrett Nussmeier, it appears still the favorite. Lenora Sellers right there behind him. John Mateer, then Mendoza. Drew Aller plus 1,500. Dante Morris plus 3,000.
Yeah, dude, he's way down there. Like, he's not somebody people talk about.
I mean, Talon Green is right now, according to this, I don't know if it's everywhere, it's plus 10,000. So that's, yeah.
Throw you a flyer on
throw that. $2 on that? Why the hell not, man? So I just, that's a big one for Notre Dame. Like, we joke about them and getting the benefit of the doubt because they don't play in a conference. Like, they lose the game, their season is over. They will not be a three-loss team in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
So, got to win this weekend. Big one right out of the gate.
Yep.
USC's in the big nooner on the road at Illinois. Now, their head coach is trying to figure out, how are we playing all these 9 a.m. games? Who could have seen this coming? Did this to us?
Put the wiener costume on, Lincoln.
Who forced us into the Big Ten to play these 9 a.m. road games? Who possibly could have wanted to sign up for the, oh, wait, it was your call.
Okay, USC right. Shooting the guy on the couch.
Who did this?
Like, who did this? Violence?
We didn't sign up. Yes, you did, Lincoln. Nobody whines like Lincoln Riley.
You better win this game.
You got to win this game. You come out with your bitching about kick times and say 9 a.m. all this nonsense. Yeah, they did not look great. I watched their game against Purdue. It was a rain delayed game, so whatever, but that was a competitive game. It was a one score game late in the third quarter. Last weekend against Michigan State, we didn't talk about it this week. Did you guys see the injury to that kid when he couldn't move?
Yeah.
Is that at the end of the first half?
I don't know how you play after that, and they noted like, that on the broadcast.
That game was back and forth a little bit early, and Aiden Childs had a couple of nice drives, and USC was in the lead, but that kind of sucked the life out of it, if you will.
I thought Benetti actually underrated. Benetti was pretty amazing, I thought, on the broadcast in that moment of it was such a long delay to get the kid off, and I actually didn't follow up to see what
it was. Legitimately like 25. It was a long, long, long delay.
But he was like, I don't know what you do here. I don't know how you keep playing. You got to wonder. And I thought he was just saying the right stuff. I thought it was a
not
good
easy to overcome, man. But. And Illinois just got put in a wood chipper last week at Indiana, and they lost by 60 points to Kurt Cignetti. Google me, bitch. That game's got juice for me, mainly because of what is USC going to do and their coach complaining this week. Also, the Illinois, can they get off the mat? Embarrassing. Now they're back at home. Environment should be decent with USC in town. That's a nice little double dip at 9 a.m.
I saw this from Yahoo, so I just was curious. It was Wayne Matthews III that got injured for Michigan State.
Okay.
He has a quote. So if you watch this in real time, you're like, I hope this kid isn't paralyzed.
Yes, he's not moving.
I'll be back in no time.
Oh, he's already okay. So he's doing okay. I take it he's all right. He's back in no time, I think he's moving.
I guess. Well, that's what he said.
Not often you get a happy ending there to a story like that, because that looked really scary when it happened on the field. So pressure cookers for USC and Illinois and Notre Dame, Arkansas. That's your 9 a.m. slate, double dip, dual screen, 9 a.m. right out of the bat.
I want to hold this one for a Monday little note of how stupid was Sprague, because Sprague's had an awful hot take football season.
Sure.
I'm just circling Wake Forest, Georgia Tech.
Okay, I like it.
I'm just circling.
You mark your territory on a Friday. You're allowed to do it.
I just like it's an easy game to overlook.
You're peeing on that bush. You peed on that bush.
I'm marking my territory.
I'm going to come sniff on that bush, and I'm going to smell somebody else's pee. Because you already peed on it. Let's get to the 12:30 slate. Because it gets even better.
Natural transition there.
9 a.m. slate, couple good games. Yep. According to Sprague, 3 good games. Well, I only gave you 2. Sprague gives you 3. Keep an eye on Wake Forest.
That's a bonus.
That's a bonus game.
I'm almost scared to say anything at this point.
Beat on that bush.
So many things I've been wrong about.
Can I throw 4 at you at 12:30? Next on The Fam. All right, let's see how much more territory we want to mark up. Going through the college football slate, we checked 9 a.m. off the list. Let's get to 12:30 because it just keeps getting better and better. Like, that's just a nice little appetizer for your day. Does Georgia Tech get upset on the road at Wake Forest? USC, do they lay an egg on the road in a Big Ten game? I don't know if you're aware of this. Lincoln Riley's only won one road Big Ten game in his career at USC. Wow. And then Notre Dame, are they eliminated from the college football playoff? I have maintained it. Arkansas is going to get somebody. I don't know who they're going to get, but they're going to get somebody. And this is a prime candidate this weekend.
Will Notre Dame become the first 1-3 team to still be ranked in the top 25 if they lose to Arkansas?
You know, that's a respectable SEC team, dude.
That's a pretty good loss.
I mean, it's only a field goal loss, not terrible.
That's the resume right now, is they've got great losses.
Great losses.
Maybe they'll prove us wrong and beat Arkansas handily. I'll be fascinated to carry that game over. A&M sitting on upset alert.
Well, here we go. So now we go to the 12:30 slate.
Yeah.
12:30, morning slate's done, 12:30. You got Ohio State on the road at Washington. CBS. You got LSU on the road at Ole Miss. daughter of the coach dating star linebacker of the other team. 12:30 on ABC.
That relationship might only be weeks old.
Oh, I see what you did there.
His last name's Weeks. Swag. I don't know if you know that.
Auburn on the road at A&M. 12:30 on ESPN. And Indiana on the road, waving to the kids in the hospital at Iowa, fresh off of a big win, going into the meat grinder that is Kinnick Stadium. That is your 12:30 slate.
Heisman favorite against the Hawkeye defense.
Perfect quad box opportunity for all four games, because I don't know if there's, like, locally, obviously, Ohio State, Washington carries more significance and weight. No doubt about it. But if you just go in terms of interest and where the game should be, the closest spread of the bunch is Ole Miss as a 1.5-point favorite at home against LSU. But all of them are sub double digits. So Indiana's an 8.5-point favorite, Texas A&M 6.5, and we mentioned Ohio State, depending on where you look, 7.5, 8, 8.5, somewhere in that range.
My wife scheduled a hangout with one of my friends after my daughter's soccer game Saturday in the middle of all these games. And she goes, well, he likes football. And I go, no, he doesn't.
No.
He's one of those weird guys. He'll play sports. He doesn't watch sports.
So are you getting out of it, or are you making him watch football?
It's at my house.
Then I'm just, you can come hang out with me, but I'm watching football.
Father, forgive me.
Come hang out all you want.
We're going into Arnie's.
Dude, let's go sit in the garage.
Let's go!
They got a newborn daughter, and so we're going to see her again.
Yeah,
that'd be
see
nice.
The kid.
But, sorry, quad boxing here. You know what I mean? What do you want me to do?
Look at the baby. Look at the football.
I saw one takeaway that, like, Indiana's so good, they're going to smoke Iowa. I always love when those takes happen. Iowa's interesting in the sense of, the over hit for them last week at Rutgers.
It did. They beat Rutgers on the road.
They are trying to implement the forward pass, as slow as it may seem.
I actually think the over hit in the first half of this game, if I'm not mistaken. And what is the takeaway from Auburn having a nice little opening win against Baylor and going, man, Auburn, if they lose back-to-back weeks and it's against Oklahoma and then it's against A&M.
Yeah, it's life in the SEC. Welcome to that.
Thanks for coming.
Like, are they going to let that stupid rule that wasn't implemented bother them? Because they still talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, they're still leaning on it.
And so I just wonder, now Elko's coming off of a Notre Dame win, and then they had a bye last week, and, you know, they've been on campus for 2 weeks, and they've been heroes and legends and autographs, the ones that are going to classes in person.
Yeah.
Marcel Reed included, so... That one's an
I
big pressure
cooker. I trust Elko.
Game.
I think Elko will, you know, the bye will help, I think, get their heads back to reality a little bit.
Their receivers have been stellar.
Yeah. They've been really good. And Marcel Reed's been really good, too.
Craver kid has 20 catches, 400-plus yards, and 4 TDs.
Yeah, that's solid right there.
And they're going to be one of those, like, come Monday, they win this game.
They're a dark,
they beat
Auburn. They're one of the favorites in the SEC. Who's the best team in the SEC? Probably Georgia right now, but we'll get to that game in a moment.
I'll always kind of lean Georgia when we're sitting exactly where we're sitting because of the respect I have for Kirby.
I think A&M's different for me now because of their head coach. I'm just a believer in Elko. I think he's a great coach. I think he's proven it. And I don't put the past failures of that program and the shortcomings and the disappointments on this team and this head coach because they're totally different for me.
Ole Miss LSU certainly going to be in a conversation depending on the winner of that one, how that one looks.
Yes.
LSU's offense, like, better performance last week, but... You know, I don't think Ole Miss's defense is that stellar. Like, show up.
No.
I need to stop seeing the excuses for why LSU's offense doesn't work.
Well, and then Tulane went on the road to Ole Miss last week, and everybody thought, hey, could this be an upset? How ugly could this get? You know, what's it going to look like? Tulane's riding a wave, no pun intended, into that game. And Ole Miss is playing their backup quarterback again. Trinidad Chambliss is his name. He's a Ferris State transfer. And he has done nothing but light teams up since being inserted after an injury to Simmons, their starter. 719 yards, 4 touchdowns. QBR is 7th in the country. And Simmons is healthy this week, and they're starting the Chambliss kid. So they're riding the hot hand at quarterback. That's something with Lane.
As they should.
As they should. They're at home. They get an opportunity to pull off a win over a top five team. Like, they've had some big wins under Lane. He's had a bit of the Mario Cristobal problem where he loses games that he shouldn't lose. Like, Kentucky at home last year was an inexcusable loss. Or Florida. I know they were playing better at the end of the season. Those are the games that kept them from the playoff. I want to say Georgia went there and got whooped pretty good last year. I think Georgia went on the road to Ole Miss, and they handled them. And it was like, damn, here come the Rebels. And then again, they dropped one that they can't drop. Yeah, they beat Georgia at home last year 28-10. So they handled them. This game against LSU went to overtime in Baton Rouge, 29-26. So I'm really excited for that one. Let's carry over the UW conversation, and then we'll kind of put a bow on the college football weekend because it only gets better from there with the primetime games. We've mentioned Oregon and Penn State. We have not talked at all about Georgia and Alabama this week. We could Georgia-Bama at the same time.
An odd one where it's like not the
Well, it is for a lot of part of the country.
For a lot of people around the country, it is. But yes, for
Oregon, Penn State getting a lot more attention this weekend, and I think it's because of how Alabama lost their game against Florida State.
Yes, and they got a chance to prove a lot of people wrong and go on the road and win in Athens, and they got the longest home winning streak in the country. So we'll get to that. And then where are you guys at? Washington, Ohio State tomorrow. Is that a prime upset candidate? Is that just keep it close? Are they going to get drubbed? I'm just, where are people out on Washington, Ohio State? Kind of put a ball in our college football conversation, get to some NFL stuff in the final hour. Back after this on 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. USA assured of a point. They got a one hole lead going into 18. Or at least a half a point, I should say.
I was going to say, they could lose 18. They will not be shut out.
They will not be shut out.
The opening
they
session.
Have secured a half of a point. Will it become a full point? We'll let you know. They're on the 18th hole.
I have to live bet USA to win this bad boy. I'm getting plus money.
I mean, the plus money is now on their side. It didn't take long to flip it over.
Six holes.
Where are you guys at on UW and Ohio State? I think you took the Huskies to cover yesterday in our Big Pack picks. Casey made it picks for you, so we didn't get your thoughts on the game, Swag.
I am very curious. I don't know how good they are based on who they've played, I would think.
Ohio State or Washington?
Kind of both.
So the win over Texas doesn't mean anything
Ohio
to you?
State is?
How good their offense is. Hmm. I mean, that was kind of a... It's opening week. It was a scratchy win, those sorts of things. It's more about Washington. How truly good are they? Can that offense generate points like they have against the athletes and the talent that Ohio State has? And then defensively, you know, can they find a way to get some key stops along the way? They're not going to obviously, you know, put wraps on them.
Sure.
But I'm genuinely curious. I think it's a good litmus test. I think it's great that it's at this point in the season for them. It's a long way to go. I don't know, you know, I'm still not sold on Sayre.
I think if you're a Husky fan, keep this game close and you're competitive, I think you feel great. Moral victories suck at the end of the day, but you're playing the number one team in the country. Like, if you cover the spread and this is a competitive game, I think it tells you where you're at. Like, I don't know in terms of your point on Ohio State, like, what's the ceiling on them? Are they the best team in the country? Who knows? Their win over Texas has not aged perfectly because Texas has looked incompetent at times offensively, and Archer's been a disappointment early in the season. But I think it just shows you, like, we have made a significant amount of progress from when DeBoer left and everything was bare to the next year. You're at home. You're hanging with one of the better teams in the country. I think you feel great about that.
Yeah, that was one of the, like, when I got home, I went and read some Christian Capel stuff, and I kind of had a regret of the side I chose for
taking the Huskies to cover.
Yeah, a little bit, just because I could see it being great environment, raucous, and then like, here we go, and Ohio State overwhelms them.
Yeah.
It's kind of like where I was starting to feel a little bit, and maybe that's just second guessing, but I'd love to just see a good game.
Yeah.
Close-ish game. I think even if they lose by two scores, I still think you should walk out of that feeling great because Ohio State, we know, has the talent.
It might end up being the toughest game on your schedule. We don't know how good Oregon is. We don't know what the ceiling is there. I don't believe they play Penn State this year.
Washington? No, they don't.
So this might end up being the hardest game on your
Michigan.
Schedule.
Michigan? I think they have
Michigan. And Michigan's good. Like, they might not beat Michigan, but Michigan's not better. Well, they might.
But I think if the Huskies expect to get into the conversation regularly, like, they want to be on the level with Ohio State and Oregon and whoever else is going to stay at the top, Penn State. Do they look the part? Whether or not they win the game, do they look the part under Jed Fish?
Well, I more wonder, is that a realistic, reasonable thing for us to be saying?
Like, I don't know yet.
I don't think so.
If I was a Husky fan,
that's why
I'd be
saying, I want to see.
Right, but if you don't, it's going to be like, well, they're not. And well, that's what I'm saying.
Yet,
that's
or they're not fair right now.
That's not fair to them, because it's one thing to lose a coach. It's another to not lose most of your talent and then get a good coach or a better coach and roll it. And obviously, they're not one of the better NIL collective teams in college football. They were decimated with mm-hmm. talent loss in coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so for year two, you go 6-6 with some really disappointing losses that first year. For year two to be like, oh, well, they didn't hang with Ohio State. I don't know what the conclusion should truly be. That's fair. And so I more look at this game as, okay, we'll get a good barometer check of where you're at against one of the best teams in the conference, yeah. if not the best, and we'll move from there. If they're an 8-4 team this year, that's still a pretty stellar season, in my opinion.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I would use the analogy that some have used with Oregon. Pate used it with Oregon yesterday. I don't think Washington has anything to lose tomorrow. I don't. If they get killed, it's Jed Fish year two. It might be the hardest game under schedule. You could still win 8 or 9 games and get killed in that game tomorrow.
Right, right.
If you win, we don't need to talk about how big of a deal that would be. And if you're competitive, obviously, you're feeling great coming out of it. They got nothing to lose tomorrow. They get to showcase their stadium to the entire country. It's one of the toughest places to play in all of college football.
The tailgating should be picturesque.
Dude, yeah, there's going to be a ton of red in that stadium. There was a ton of red at Autzen last year. Like, that fan base travels well. It's really hard to know what to make of either team. Washington defensively has not been that impressive to me. Offensively, they have looked incredible. They also, I don't think, have played a defense with a pulse. And so, it's one thing to be. I used the analogy earlier in the week, and I'll use it again. Like, I think Nebraska was kind of this last week going in. Now, I think Ohio State, from a talent standpoint, is better than Michigan. But Nebraska was lighting people up, and Raiola was lighting the world on fire, and look how good their offense looks. And then you run into a team with big boys at the line of scrimmage, and they body blow you a little bit. And they hung in that game. They got a Hail Mary. Like, they could have won. They hung around. It wasn't like they got killed. But that's the way I kind of see this game going, where I don't see Damon Williams and Coleman and company doing what they've done to the defenses that they played leading into it. The biggest question mark of all of it is, can Washington's defense hold down what we believe to be not great Ohio State offense? The skill position players might be great, but their quarterback is a major question mark, and he's making his first big start on the road. Can they keep him in the ball game? And if they can, then who the hell knows what happens in the end.
I think it's one thing to zero in on a target, right? If they say Jeremiah Smith is not going to be the guy that single-handedly demolishes us.
I also don't even know if you have the ability, even if you triple-team him, to stop him.
Well, you might be right. He is pretty special. Yeah. I more wonder, is Ohio State just going to be able to run and dominate all day, keep the time possession, run the clock, because your defensive front's not impressive? Like, Ryan Walters being brought in as the DC, this is his bread and butter, right? Like, last week they give up 24. It's a bit of what's going to happen in this game? The defense doesn't look amazing. And then they lock down, the offense goes on a thing, they win by 30 points. Do you have an ability to improve from what you looked like last week against what we obviously know is a lesser than team in Washington State? And then on the other side, I just imagine Ohio State all week is, Jonah Coleman's not going to beat us.
No, we're going to bottle him up and make Damon Williams run around and make plays.
We want the 5'11 quarterback in the pocket to try to read the field over our monsters up front, and we're going to win that way.
Yeah.
Because if Coleman has a big game, Washington's probably going to find themselves in a hell of a ball game come fourth quarter.
They got to be able to run the football. It should be fun, man. Just a litmus test to see where they're at. Washington's got some interesting games the rest of the way. Obviously, the Oregon one at the end of the year. They go on the road to Michigan in a couple of weeks.
Dude, their game next weekend is the ultimate college football.
That's a huge trap.
You know, snoozeroo of like, oh, we beat or we hung with Ohio State.
College Park, Maryland, traveling out there. Good luck with that, dude.
It's terrible out there. Talk about bad stadiums, dude. There's nobody that goes to those games.
Long ways away off of the high of a win or the low of a defeat. That's a trap game in the making.
Are you
going to get
beat twice?
Yeah.
That's what you worry about when you're a Washington. Year two is like, you give everything. You give all the juice, all the energy, all the attention to Ohio State. Maybe you still end up losing that one going away. Well, next week, good luck. You fly all the way out to Maryland against a freshman quarterback that just doesn't seem to care. He'll sling the rock everywhere, because what do they have to lose? Their Maryland? Are you going to get beat twice?
Yep. We'll see how it all shakes out. Excited for it tomorrow, 12:30. That quad box is going to be on fire tomorrow at 12:30 with the slate that we got. Let's get a couple thoughts on Georgia-Alabama. We'll move back into a couple of NFL nuggies, including a rookie quarterback making his first start, the pressure on some teams to go perform in week four, and then we got a spring in the line. That's coming up at 9:30. Get your fake sponsors in, 503-864-6326. We'll do some gambling coming up at 9:30. Loaded final hour on a football Friday. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle,
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.